Section 2, Early Explorations and Attempted Settlements. As you read, look for why Spain's ventures in the New World made her the envy and enemy of other European nations. The failures of Spain and France in their attempts to settle La Florida, and Spain's one permanent success. What the Europeans left behind when they abandoned South Carolina that weakened the Indians. Terms: caulk, garrison, prefabricated. The early explorations of the newly discovered continents were dramatic demonstrations of national rivalries. All the Western European nations scrambled to send fleets to explore the distant shores and to lay claim to large territories. All acted as though the land was theirs for the taking. Almost no one gave consideration to the Indians' prior claim to the land. Competing and overlapping claims to territories were to lead to conflicts and wars among European nations for centuries to come. The prize was considered worth fighting for. Spanish Conquest. Spain was the first nation to explore and conquer large sections of the American continents, and the nation profited mightily from the ventures. Following Columbus's voyages, Spanish armies took control of most Caribbean islands. The king, who claimed the islands, granted land to Spanish settlers who established sugar plantations. They enslaved the native Indian populations and brought in more slaves from Africa to do the hard work of sugarcane cultivation. Many of the landowners became very rich. Most of the slaves died young because they worked so hard and they caught European diseases. Some Catholic missionaries, trying to convert the Indians to Christianity, protested the treatment of the slaves, but greed tended to overcome religious creed. By 1520 or so, most of the Indian population of the Caribbean islands was wiped out, and more slaves were imported from Africa. The wealth gained from sugar was small compared to the riches found in Mexico and Peru. There the Spaniards, riding horses and armed with guns, found and conquered very advanced Indian civilizations that had vast storehouses of gold and silver. Most of the precious metals were stolen and shipped to Spain. Gold and silver mines, worked by Indian slaves, provided a continuing flow of wealth to Spain. Spain became the envy and the enemy of most other European countries. The other nations felt it their duty to capture as many Spanish ships loaded with loot as they possibly could. Pirating was promoted by the English, French, and others. Despite losing a shipload here and there, Spain had brought in about 200 tons of gold and 16,000 tons of silver by 1650. American gold and silver provided a boost to the economy of all Europe. Spaniards could now afford to buy goods they wanted from other countries, building up the economies of those nations as well. The Spanish in Florida and Carolina. Spain had profited enormously from the exploitation of Mexico, Peru, and the Caribbean islands. Spaniards also had their sights set on America farther north, where they hoped to find additional deposits of gold and silver. They never found them, but their efforts gave them claim to large sections of the continent. One explorer of significance to South Carolina was Lucas Vasquez de Ayllón, whom you met at the beginning of this chapter. He sent two expeditions to the coast of Florida and as far north as South Carolina before his massive effort to settle 500 men at San Miguel de Guadalupe in 1526. Failure at San Miguel did not mean Spaniards lost interest in what they called La Florida, all of what is now the southeastern United States. The search for precious metals, along with strengthening Spain's claim to La Florida, were the main purposes of Hernando de Soto's dramatic trek through the Southeast in 1539 to 1542. He and his army were the first Europeans to explore the interior of what was to become the United States. He spent a few weeks enjoying the hospitality of the Indian tribes in central South Carolina, including one led by the Lady of Cofitachiqui, before moving up into North Carolina, then westward to the Mississippi River, spreading destruction and disease among the Indian nations unfortunate enough to be in his path. Spanish and French competition in Florida and Carolina. The next European penetration of South Carolina was by a small group of French settlers led by Jean Ribaut in 1562. The French were challenging Spanish claims to this part of America. It was a puny challenge. Ribaut's 150 men sailed into an inlet he named Port Royal Sound near present-day Beaufort. They built a small fort on Paris Island named Charles Fort for the French king. 28 of the men stayed at the fort, and the others sailed away to France, promising to return with more settlers and supplies. Their return was delayed by civil war in France. The men at Charles Fort could not get enough food from the Indians. They became desperate and decided to build a boat and sail for France. The boat was made of wood caulked, made tight against leakage, with Spanish moss and pine rosin. For sails, they patched together whatever cloth and clothes they had available. On the ocean, without adequate food and water, the men turned to cannibalism before the survivors were rescued by an English ship. In 1565, Pedro Menendez de Avilés established a Spanish settlement at St. Augustine in Florida, which was to remain as the earliest permanent, lasting settlement by Europeans in what was to become the United States. The following year, Avilés established the small town of Santa Elena and built Fort San Felipe on Paris Island. Santa Elena became, for a brief time, the capital of La Florida. It had the look of a real town with men, women, and children, a church, a boarding house, and a tavern. From there, another explorer, Juan Pardo, led two expeditions into the interior as far as Tennessee, following in some of De Soto's footsteps. Like De Soto's explorations, Pardo's journey provided valuable information about the Indian tribes and their customs. Pardo set up several small forts in the interior and left small garrisons, groups of soldiers. There is no record of what happened to these men, but they likely were victims of Indian revenge against their intrusion. Santa Elena had the same problems with Indian neighbors, or rather, the Indians had the same problems with the Spaniards. When the townspeople ran out of food, they raided Indian villages. Finally, several Indian nations made war on the town in 1576 and forced the residents to ship out to the safety of Cuba. The Indians burned the village and fort. Their rejoicing did not last long because, a few months later, the French made another effort to settle. The Indians quickly sent the French to their eternal rest. In 1577, the persistent white intruders were back. It was time for the Spaniards to try again. They brought in from St. Augustine prefabricated, already built, sections of a fort and quickly erected Fort San Marcos on Paris Island. Soon a new town of Santa Elena arose, which was to become larger than the original. The purpose of the many efforts to settle on this fine harbor was to have a base from which the Spanish Navy could protect the shipping lanes from Mexico, Peru, and the Caribbean islands to Spain. Incredibly, now that Santa Elena was reestablished and seemed to be a success, the Spanish government decided it was too expensive to maintain and ordered it abandoned and destroyed. In 1587, the settlers destroyed their homes, church, and fort and sailed away. For nearly 80 years, the Indians of South Carolina were without significant intrusion by Europeans. But the Europeans had left behind microbes that were to continue weakening the Indian population. The next intruders would have fewer Native Americans to deal with. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form, caulk, garrison, prefabricated. 2. What name did the Spaniards give to all of what became the southeastern United States? 3. Where did Jean Ribaut land in 1562, and what did he establish there?